Let's just pray. Father God, as we come to this part of our service when we want to hear what you have to say to us, we do praise you that you are a God who does speak, you are a God who does communicate, that you are a God who has given us your word in the Bible. And we just pray that now, as we think about what you have to say to us, that you would open our hearts to accept what you're saying to us and to be prepared to change our lives in the light of what you are saying to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, we're doing a series on questions that Christians ask, difficult questions that Christians are asking. I hope you're getting on okay. I wasn't in the service last week. I didn't hear how Jess dealt with the issues of whether God is answering our prayer or not. But hopefully you're finding it useful. It's good to look at these kind of questions because they are questions that Christians do ask. And I think we wanted to really sort of have that as a focus of what we were doing. Questions like, why aren't you fair, Lord? It's not fair what's going on in my life or in that person's life. Questions like, why don't you answer my prayer? Or why do you feel so distant that we're going to do today? Or why do good people suffer? Questions like this come up. And that's why we're looking at them. Hopefully what we're not saying is, or hopefully the message that you're not getting, is something like, well, you may ask this, but you're wrong to ask this question, and here's why you're wrong. That's not what we want to say. What we're trying to say is something like, these are questions you ask. You're asking these questions, and that's normal. And they're difficult questions. And maybe we haven't got all the answers, but here's some suggestions from what the Bible says about how to deal with them. Hopefully that's what we're attempting to do. The church should be a place, I think, where people feel free to be able to ask these questions to each other, to say to each other, look, God doesn't seem fair in that. Or to say, look, God isn't answering my prayer. I'm praying this over and over again. Or just to be able to say to somebody, I don't feel very close to God. I don't feel God's presence. The church should be a place where we're prepared to ask those questions or say those kind of things to each other. And what we're trying to do really in our messages is to say, look, these are the questions. These are some of the ways that the Bible says that ought to help us when we're experiencing these things. Everybody's going to be in a position where they're asking these kinds of questions. And so we ought to be prepared to accept that other people are going to ask them as well. You see, the background to really all of it is that Christians are in a relationship with God. We're in a relationship with God. If you're truly a believer, you're in a relationship with God. And relationships are complicated. I think that's something that everybody would agree with. Family relationships are complicated. Children with their parents, at all ages, grown-up children with their parents. Brothers with sisters, brothers with brothers, and sisters with sisters. Couples within couples. We have the marriage course because marriage relationships often are complicated. Parents with their children, again, can be complicated relationships. And then we've got relationships with friends, work colleagues, as Ian was sharing, our neighbours, complicated relationships often with neighbours, customers at work, if we have customers, those kind of things. Relationships are complicated. Each situation is different. Each relationship requires different strategies. And well, if relationships with other people are complicated, the relationship with God can also be complicated for us. Because it is an amazing thing that we can have a relationship with God. And it's a wonderful thing that we can have a relationship with God. But you see, at least we can see and hear and touch our family or our friends or our colleagues. But God is invisible. And to people who are used to relationships with visible, audible, physical people, it's difficult to understand and come to terms with and get to grips with a relationship with somebody who is invisible, with somebody who we don't hear audibly or very rarely. That's audible. It's tricky. And also, even more than that, God is not really like us. In Isaiah chapter 55, God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we're always going to struggle to understand a lot of what God says and does. That's without doubt. So our relationship with him is going to be difficult. It's going to be complicated at times. But you see, he wants to have a relationship with us. And so he's stooped down to our level in many different ways. He's given us the Bible. He's spoken through people who have written it down so that we can understand something about what he is, who he is and what he's like and the way he acts. He came to us in the person of Jesus. Jesus is God. And he spoke and he acted and he died and he rose again to show us something and to help us in that relationship. Of course, he comes to us in the person of the Holy Spirit, each one of us, in some kind of mysterious way, living within us, changing us, helping us to relate to him. So God has stooped down. But on a day-to-day level, when you go to work tomorrow, having a relationship with God is difficult to understand. It's difficult to define, if you like. We know it's there. We know we've got experience of God. We know he's real. We know he exists. We know that we have a relationship with him, but there's so many questions. And in our relationship with God, there are often times when we don't feel his presence, when it doesn't feel to us like he is there. When we become a Christian, at the beginning, at the early days of our Christian life, we have a real sense of his presence. Most people would agree with that, that over those first few days, those first few weeks, years maybe, we know he's there and we talk to him and we sense his presence, and that's fantastic. But later on, we find we don't have those feelings so much anymore. And we go through periods where we carry on worshipping, we carry on reading the Bible and praying and going to our church, going to our ministry group. The sense of his presence isn't there anymore. The feelings that we used to have just aren't there anymore. And we begin to get a bit concerned. Why has God left me? What have I done wrong? This kind of experience has been described as the dark night of the soul. A Spanish guy called St. John of the Cross, who lived in the 16th century, wrote a book called, with that title, The Dark Night of the Soul. Or somebody else has called it The Winter of the Heart. In terms of our relationship with God, we feel like we're in the dark. We feel like it's cold. We feel like he's not there. And we read Psalm 13, didn't we? David experienced this. And David experienced this a lot. You can look through the Psalms and every sort of 5 or 10 Psalms is a Psalm that speaks like this, like Psalm 13, where he says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long must I rest? How long will you hide your face from me? How long is this going to go on? I can't sense you, Lord." This is King David. Those of you who haven't spent a long time looking at the Bible, looking at the Old Testament, King David, he wrote many of the Psalms. He was described as a man after God's own heart. He had a close relationship with God. He was the one who did amazing things like killing Goliath as a small boy, killing a huge man, winning many battles against all the odds. But still, he could say, "Lord, will you forget me forever? I don't feel your presence." So this is a real experience that we're talking about here. It's something that happens a lot. The Bible tells us that it happens a lot. And we need to think about what the Bible says about this and to try and understand it. So I just want to deal with three questions. First of all, what is happening here? What is it? When we feel that God isn't there, when we feel we don't feel God's presence anymore, what's going on? Well, the first thing to be sure of is that God hasn't abandoned you. He's not actually left you alone. There's a guy, he's a senior pastor in a church in Kansas called Floyd McClung, which I had to use this quote just because of his name. Floyd McClung said this. He describes his experience. You wake up one morning and all your spiritual feelings are gone. You pray, but nothing happens. You rebuke the devil, but it doesn't change anything. You go through spiritual exercises. You have your friends pray for you. You confess every sin you can imagine. Then you go round asking forgiveness of everyone you know. You fast, still nothing. You begin to wonder how long this spiritual gloom might last. Days, weeks, months, will it ever end? It feels as if your prayers simply bounce off the ceiling. In your desperation, you cry out, "What's the matter with me?" Of course, the answer to that is absolutely nothing. These times of apparent separation are a normal part of testing and maturing of your friendship with God. What's the matter with me? That's what we ask, isn't it? But you see, there's nothing wrong with you. This is a normal part of the Christian life. Rick Warren, he wrote several books. The Purpose Driven Life is a classic, and everybody should read it if they haven't. I consider him to be the king of the Christian soundbite. He loves these short, snappy sentences, and he says, "God is real no matter how you feel. God is real no matter how you feel. He's not abandoned you. However you feel, he has not abandoned you." How can I say that? Because of the promises we have in the Bible. He's promised that he will never leave you. In at least three places in the Bible, one particular promise is repeated. Deuteronomy 31, Joshua 1, Hebrews 3. He says to his people, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's clear. And it's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. He's talking to his people. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." There's some beautiful words in Isaiah 43, where he says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Notice he doesn't say, "I have redeemed you, so you'll never have any more troubles." He says, "When you pass through the waters," you will pass through the waters and the rivers and the fire. This is a certain thing that will happen. When that happens to you, "I will be with you." That's a promise from God. And of course, Jesus, after he died and risen again, he was just about to go back to heaven, and he was commissioning his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. He says, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." God has not abandoned you, like that old boot on the screen. Maybe you don't feel his presence, but he hasn't abandoned you. We've all gone through these difficulties, or if you haven't, you will. I was working as a pastor of a group of churches in Spain. I was preaching in Spanish three times every Sunday. I was teaching the Bible several times during the week to different groups. I had an army of people back in the UK praying for me. I read my Bible and I tried to pray every single day. But I couldn't sense God's presence. I got to the stage where I couldn't feel whether he was there or not. We came back from Spain because I had depression. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where God was, what he was doing. And I prayed and I prayed. And I complained to God and I argued with God. And I begged him to give me a new experience of himself. But for a whole year there was nothing. But eventually he did come. And he did reveal himself to me again. What was going on? He hadn't abandoned me. He was hiding his face. He was taking me to the next level, if you like. He was there. I just couldn't sense him because in his purposes, he just didn't allow me to sense him. In the night time, you can't see the sun. But it's not because the sun's vanished. It's not because the sun's gone to the other side of the universe. It's just around the back of the earth, isn't it? It's going to come back in the morning when dawn comes. So we're not abandoned. God hasn't abandoned us. So why is this happening? What have I done to cause this? Is the next question people ask. Because we're conditioned into thinking that it must be our fault. Something has caused this, so it must be me. It must be something I've done. Now, of course, answering a question like, why is this happening? It's difficult because there's no clear answer. Because sometimes it may be something we've done or that we're doing. We can get so caught up in the world. We can get so focused on something that isn't God, or we can be actively disobedient to something God has clearly shown us that we should do. Or we can be in conflict with others when we should be making peace. All these things can serve to disconnect us from God. And that is true. But often, in many cases, this feeling of estrangement from God has nothing to do with sin. It's nothing to do with what we've done in our lives. It's a test of our faith. It's almost a next step in the development of our relationship with God. You see, because God is more interested in whether you trust him for who he is than if you're having great feelings all the time. God is present with us all the time. And this presence that God has with us is actually too profound to be measured by some feeling. Our relationship with God should be based on something much deeper than just nice feelings that we have, feeling his presence there, feeling that somebody's there. Our relationship with God should be based on faith, on trust in who he is. We often come to worship looking for an experience, don't we? And if we get a particular feeling, we conclude, I've worshipped God today. But actually, this is a mistake. It is good to have a great experience and a knowledge of God's presence. It's good to have a feeling that God is there. But worship is an expression of our love for and trust in God. And if we're able to do that even when we don't feel it, then actually that means a lot more. Actually, that pleases God more. So this time of not feeling God's presence, not sensing his presence, is actually a test of our faith, and it's a way of developing our faith. It almost casts us more on him if we haven't got that feeling. We have to understand, suffering is going to come in your life. People will get ill. There will be a difficulty in your career, in your job. Relationships will be tough. Other things will happen. And when these things happen, your feelings are going to be all over the place. What you will need at that point is not feelings, but your faith. Your trust in him. This kind of trust, this kind of faith that you've developed while during these times when you haven't felt God's presence. So what is often happening here is that God has withdrawn to help us to learn, to help us to grow our faith, to strengthen our faith. So how should we respond to this? Psalm 13 gives us a good example of how we should respond. First of all, we should tell him how we feel. Tell God how you feel. Even if you don't feel God's presence, he's there. We've said that. So we can still talk to him. He still wants to hear us, and he wants to hear how we feel. Sometimes you're reading the Psalms, and it's quite shocking, some of the things that David says. I mean, just in Psalm 13, "How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" He's being quite harsh. He's saying it how he feels. "How long, O Lord? Why are you doing this?" he says. "Why don't you do something? Why are you letting the wicked get away with it?" he said in other psalms. "Why do they have such an easy life when mine is so hard?" He comes to God and he tells him how he feels. He doesn't pull any punches. And that's good. That's a good thing to do in your prayers, especially if you're not feeling his presence. You say to God, "Lord, I don't feel your presence. I don't know. I don't understand why you've left me like this." Because God is big enough to take this. He loves us. He's our Father. He wants to hear what's going on in our hearts and in our lives. Again, Rick Warren, he says that by praying in this way, David showed he believed three things. First of all, he showed that he believed in God, that God was there. Second, he believed God would listen to his prayer. And thirdly, he believed God would let him say what he felt and still love him. God wants us to say what we feel, and he will still love us, because that's what God is like. God is our Father. He loves us and he wants to hear from us. So first of all, tell him how you feel. Secondly, focus on who God is. And focus on what he's done for you. Psalm 13, again, verses 5 and 6. David, after speaking his mind to God, he explains what else he's going to do. "I will trust in your unfailing love," he speaks of. "My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." Think about what God is like. God is a God of unfailing love. His love will never fail. It's always there. Focus on that. Focus on God's power. He's all powerful. He is in control of all things. Think of the fact that God notices every detail of your life. Think of the fact that God has a plan for your life. He knows what he's doing. He's not just making it up as he goes along. He's planned it. He knows what he's doing. He understands why you're going through this time, even if you don't. That's what God is like. And then think about what God's done. God, David says, "He has been good to me." And he speaks of God's salvation. And that's something that makes him rejoice. Now, David, of course, he knew very little of the salvation that we talk of. David didn't know Jesus. He knew that a special person was coming in the future. But he didn't know as much as we know. And yet he could still rejoice, even though he didn't feel God's presence. We know so much more, don't we? We know that God the Son came to earth. We know that he lived as a real human being, experiencing all the emotions and pain and joy and everything that we experience. But he was completely without sin. We know how he went to the cross. We know what he suffered. Physical agony, spiritual separation from his father because he was taking the punishment for our sins. We know that he rose again. We know that he's called each one of us to be a member of his family, to be saved, to be forgiven, regardless of what we have done, what we have said, what we have thought, regardless of our past, what we're like now. God has made us one of his family. So that's another thing. Focus on who he is and what he's done. When God feels a long way away, focus on Jesus. Focus on the cross. And then finally, how to respond, trust and worship. When we don't feel, we need to learn to trust. As I've said, as at night when we can't see the sun, we don't panic that it isn't there. The earth is rotating and it will reappear in the next day. And so in the dark night of the soul, we shouldn't panic. God is still there. We can still trust in his unfailing love. But more than that, as we focus on who he is, as we focus on what he's done, as we trust in him, we can rejoice, we can sing. My heart rejoices, says David, in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord. Even though I've just said that I can't sense his presence and I don't know where he's gone, I will still sing. We should still worship. Again, Rick Warren said the deepest level of worship is praising God in spite of the pain, thanking God during a trial, trusting him when tempted, surrendering while suffering, and loving him when he seems distant. I'll say that again. The deepest level of worship is praising God in spite of the pain, thanking God during a trial, trusting him when tempted, surrendering while suffering, and loving him when he seems distant. Feelings are good, but don't depend on your feelings. They will come and go. God is real no matter how you feel. So tell him how you feel. Focus on the cross and trust him in the dark, because the dawn will come again. God will come back. You will sense his presence again. He will reveal himself. He will reveal his face to you. Amen.